functions.
Yeah, Google actually does have this thing called a dashboard, and you know, an ad center where you can tweak these things. You could say, you know, don't show me stuff about cars, show me cosmetics or whatever. Very few people take advantage of these tools, but if it really bugs you, you know, you might be motivated enough to, you know, go down and click those buttons and change your settings.
But of course, you can say whatever you want, Lori. They're still going to be tracking and making their own assumptions about you, which they're selling and using. Let me get one more, and I'll take it on here. Barbara in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, good show. I have type 2 diabetes, and
okay.
When I first got it a couple of years ago, naturally I went to Google and was looking all over the place for
sure.
Information.
Mm-hmm.
That's all information. And it kept coming back at me through Google. So,
what do you mean, coming back at you?
Well, ads for different things relating to type 2 diabetes.
So, they clearly have you pegged as a diabetes sufferer, most
right,
likely.
Which really annoys me. So, what I've done is made it my business. Every week, I enter a new disease, and I start searching.
Oh, no.
You know, like the Ebola one week, and I really, just to confuse Google.
So, can I ask a question? What was the problem?
Yeah,
what was the problem,
Jeff
though?
Jarvis wants to know, what's the problem with them knowing you've got diabetes and trying
if,
to
if
get
if you got more relevant ads that might have actually given you something or more relevant content,
well, no,
what
I
was
I
your fear?
I don't need people to know. I just wanted some information
no
for
person knows.
Myself.
No person knows.
Myself.
But no person knows.
I sometimes look at Lamborghinis or baby changing tables or Fisher Price, but I am not. I'm put out the wrong information purposely because they are tracking my every move.
They're going to think you're a real wreck with Ebola and all that. But Jeff, you know, I mean, you say nobody knows, but I mean, our San Diego caller says, you know, you go to the office and you turn your machine on, and there's all the ads for divorce lawyers. Anybody looking over Barbara's shoulder is going to see ads for, you know, to take your blood sugar level. I mean,
Tom, back in the day,
yeah?
Back in the day when I gave to NPR stations.
You've stopped.
Suddenly,
don't stop.
Suddenly out of nowhere, I would be getting, you know, mail for all kinds of other related causes. How did that happen? Because NPR sold my name and the fact that I gave money to them with my address to others.
Well, I'm sorry
when
for that, but isn't that kid stuff compared to this?
No, not at all. It's far more personally identifiable than ever. When I started Entertainment Weekly magazine,
yeah.
We sold your name and address and what you read. There are databases that were built far before the internet that had far more personally identifiable information than these have now. The internet is far more anonymized as a rule. We have to get to a discussion of
Jeff,
real harm, because
oh,
I disagree with Mark.
Jeff,
I disagree. Let me finish. Mark, let me answer you. Mark, may I answer you from before?
One second.
But what you said is not true. I mean,
Mark, may I answer you from before?
Because of the Google announcement.
Mark, may I answer you from before?
Finish up,
please?
Jeff, and we'll take it to Mark. Yes, Jeff, the rounder out there.
Because what Mark was saying was we have to separate these two conversations. I disagree very, very strongly. Because where he's headed, where the FTC and the EU are headed, is to regulate the net in a way that will have an impact on the freedom of this tool. We cannot separate the conversations and have it just one based on fear and worst-case analysis and fear-mongering that some of these organizations are doing. We must also have the conversation about the impact that what they do will have on freedom, an impact that comes out of nonspecific harm and vague creepy. And that's no way to regulate this incredibly powerful tool.
Point taken.
Don't regulate the
privacy
technology.
Has been understood as part of freedom, but let's say, point taken. Mark Rotenberg, your view there?
Well, first of all, no one's talking about regulating the internet. And Jeff,
oh, they sure are.
Stop talking.
Oh, yeah, but that. They are.
We're talking about holding companies accountable that are.
What did you do with the FTC, Mark?
Jeff,
you regulated
word,
the
okay?
net.
Hang on. Yeah, Mark.
We are talking about holding companies accountable that are collecting and
through
using
regulation.
Personal information of internet users, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And for you to say that the internet is moving toward greater anonymity the same week that Google is announcing that it's planning to consolidate all of its user-identified services is frankly absurd.
Well, how is it not anonymous, Mark?
Rear view mirror, buddy.
Isn't it still anonymous? I mean, does it have your name?
It's not anonymous.
Well, I thought a lot of Google stuff was serving you ads, but they weren't. They didn't know. They
you
weren't saying
sign,
who you,
you
were.
You don't have to sign into Google. You don't have to sign into Google.
But that's the key point, of course. In other words, to maintain your anonymity, and now you're making my argument for me, Jeff. To maintain your anonymity, you're going to have to stop using Google services. That's the entire point of the announcement. And that's why it's very important that we be clear about what this discussion is about. It is very much about the freedom of Internet users. And the freedom of Internet users means that we have to start holding these companies accountable. These companies can't pretend that it's their freedom that's at issue when we try to
But
say,
they do, too. They also have freedom. They are giving you a free service, and this is the business deal that they present.
Yeah, but it gets pretty deeply embedded in our lives. We got
the New York Times requires you to accept cookies.
Yeah, Mark, I want to ask you this. What about, Jeff raises the mail order era precedent here? People have been selling, you know, lists of people interested in trout fishing or you name it.
You know, these privacy issues for a very long time, mm-hmm. and I can tell you that the threats today to personal privacy from companies like Google and Facebook are far greater than they were from direct marketers 30 years ago, because the companies collect far
strongly.
More information, not just about purchase, but about your interests, about your likes and your dislikes.
Yeah, well, it's certainly more information. I mean, you can't argue with that. Charlie in Bedford, Massachusetts. Charlie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Google provides a free service. I was just starting out a new business, and without the free services with email, Google Documents, AdWords, AdSense, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now as a new business. I would have to pay firms thousands and thousands of dollars for what Google offers me for free.
So you're here to stick up for Google. What about the privacy issue? Is it? Do you care about it or not?
I know what I'm getting into when I sign up for Google. I think their millions and millions of users should know what they're signing up for.
Can you really live these days without Google? Or would that be, aren't you kind of leveraged into Google just because of its ubiquity on the web? Do you really have a choice not to touch Google?
Well, if Google, I remember a few years ago, it was Yahoo. And everything was on Yahoo. Now everything's on Google.
Yeah.
If I lost Google, if I woke up tomorrow and Google was not here, I would be in trouble for about a week, and then somebody would take their place.
Yeah, there's the point.
Which is how that forces Google to behave well, because if they mess with us, there are alternatives for every service they offer, and they're aware of that.
And they know it. Charlie, thank you. Kate in Cranston, Rhode Island. Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of concerns. One is, the lack of privacy being used against us somewhere further down the line by the Patriot Act, for instance. You know, you've gone to a demonstration, you supported some cause, and then that comes back to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And my second one is that the I really go to great lengths to avoid advertising. That's why I listen to public radio.
Okay.
And so when you're being bombarded by the people who can afford to advertise, so your choices are actually really limited by those people who can afford the advertisement.
But I mean, that is kind of the system we live in. It's hard to expect that it won't be that way in this country, in our economy, isn't it?
But I don't like it. You know, I'm somebody who really appreciates the hardware store around the corner. And I'm not going to get an ad for the hardware store around the corner.
Actually, you might now, because this is one thing this personalization does, and this is the way both Google and Facebook and many, many other companies are saying that they can do now, is they could deliver these local ads to you, and you know, their argument is they're going to be more meaningful to you.
Kate, they might at least get local with you, but we get it. This whole ad-floated structure maybe not be your favorite. Stephen Levy, though, what about Kate's point? You know, she's worried about all this information somehow getting in. Suddenly you're target under the Patriot Act. Yeah. You know, the government comes down.
It's a real concern to put information out of our control and put it in the control of companies that must comply with these government demands. And sometimes and Google says they won't do this, will hand over information even without a subpoena. You know, we've had problems with people giving phone records out without subpoenas, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's just a concern of our age, and it's going to be a bigger concern as more and more of our information lives outside of our direct control into what's known as the cloud.
Hey, Jeff Jarvis, you know, I use a lot of these services online, and I enjoy a lot of them. And like you, I'm excited by a lot of the things that have been made possible here. On the other hand, boy, you go onto Facebook and look down that timeline, and it's for all the world like in the old movies of an FBI dossier, you know, or something put together by a private detective. Here he is at this place. Here he is at that place. Here's what he said on this date at this time. Hmm?
But you put it there, Tom. You chose to share.
Well, yeah, but I live my life, too. But I mean, yeah, I leave footprints in the sand, too. But that doesn't mean
the basic. Well, but you put it there. There are 800 million people, soon a billion people, who are putting things on Facebook. They're choosing to share for a reason. They're not all drunk. And you know what?
But they're not choosing to share to be.
Let me give you the basic rule of life.
Yeah.
If you have a secret, don't put it on the internet. It's a rotten place for secrets. And by the way, let me also back up what Stephen is saying.
Yeah.
Government is by far the greater threat to privacy and to our freedoms.
What's the line between them? How do we know that it won't be given up when the FBI comes knocking? They don't even have to knock. They can just go on Facebook and look at it.
But it's the stuff that you put there. Right? It's the same lesson you learned when you were in third grade and you told someone on the playground a secret, and the next thing you know, it was all around the lunch table. There wasn't a problem of technology there. There was a problem of you having a gossipy, rude friend.
But I've had the presumption that I could live part of my life, put my life into the world, and not have it all be fodder for everybody all the time. Mark Rotenberg, are you going to stop this thing, Mark, or is it going through?
We're certainly going to try to, and I just want to say, you know, there's something else that you learn when you're young, and that is that you're supposed to honor your commitments. And Google and Facebook both made commitments to users, made commitments to the Federal Trade Commission about what they would and would not do. And they've now broken those commitments. They're telling their users, even though they may have had a privacy promise in the past, they have the right to change it, and they're not going to let their users, you know, opt into the change. That's simply wrong. That's ethically wrong, and it's legally wrong. And it's the reason I think they're going to have to ultimately back off.
May, we'll see. March 1st is just around the corner. It's coming on like gangbusters. They're big, and this may be the way of the future, whatever the legalities, the niceties. Interesting, fascinating. Mark Rotenberg with the Electronic Privacy Information Center. We appreciate your being with us, Mark. Thanks so much. Jeff Jarvis, author of Public Parts, How Sharing in the Digital Age Improves the Way We Work and Live. Jeff, point taken. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
And Stephen Levy with Wired Magazine, author of In the Plex. Stephen, you're great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. I love it.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.